Hey friends, welcome to episode 576 of the My 1-2-3 Cents podcast. And if you are keeping score at home, this is another non-wrestling podcast. I do this once a month, actually in November. It's happening twice a month because of the holiday. My usual podcasting partner and I weren't able to connect to record a wrestling show. I'm just going to save this one, this particular episode for next week because it falls in line with the anniversary of graduation, but this is the final episode, the fourth of the four-part series of the college years. And if you haven't already, I invite you to go back and check out episodes, our parts 1, 2, and 3, kind of each year of college. I went to Southeast Missouri State University in Cape Girardeau, Missouri, and actually cleaning through some stuff. You notice that if you're watching behind me is still the wrestling set, if you will, for the podcast. And on the other side of this computer and camera is a work in progress for a non-wrestling side for videos and stuff, because I do create a lot of content for TikTok, YouTube, and my professional, I call it a professional Facebook page that I created years ago when I was working in TV news. And so I'm giving that page a little more attention these days as well. I've gotten some good engagement and feedback from folks there and reconnecting with people. So that's why I've been kind of sharing a little bit more there as well lately, as opposed to just on my personal Facebook page. It's Kevin L. Huntsberger on Facebook, is my professional. I'm using air quotes. Like I said, I created that, gosh, probably almost 15 years ago or so when I was doing TV news and was just another way to kind of communicate with people. But anyway, yeah, found this old folder. And here's, if you are a wrestling fan, this will be the fun part of this. I found a letter that I had written to the WWF back in 1995 for Sigma Nu Fraternity, which is going to be a big part of this week's episode, as it was the last time we talked in part three. That was the year that that would have been the fall of 1993 to the spring of 1994. We went through summer actually last time, and kind of talking about the decision to join a fraternity and all that. So if you missed that, go back and check that out. But yeah, I am still a proud member, proud of the fact that I joined Sigma Nu so many years ago. And if you're watching and looking closely, I am wearing the old school Southeast Missouri State University sweatshirt. Still, after 30 years, because this shirt I actually got 30 years ago, you see the Sigma Nu embroidered into the neck of the crew neck here. My buddy Tim Arbeiter got me this as a graduation gift, so I still wear it. My daughter actually went through a phase. Actually, she still kind of does this and has pulled out some of my old sweatshirts from college that she still wears, and then she has gone to thrift stores and bought additional sweatshirts, the old, you know, what's old is new, vintage kind of stuff, which is weird saying that. But this was one that she had for a while that her and her friends were kind of trading out and wearing. And I was doing a couple of projects at work, and I needed this back. So I was like, I'm going to grab that back and keep it in the closet. And if she wants it back after this episode, she can have it back. Although I know she's not watching or listening to this, but kind of picking up in the summer slash fall of 94, was, like I said, we as Sigma News, we were looking for a permanent home. We were using a space on campus, the J building, but that fall, SEMO was bringing in a new sorority. And at that time, and someone will correct me if I'm wrong, but I'm almost positive they were not allowing sororities to live off campus. They had to be housing. Greek housing was pretty sparse back then. I mean, it was robust in terms of on campus things, but off campus you were kind of on your own. There was no, I believe I'm correct in saying this, there was no university sanctioned or run housing for fraternities. And so we went to work finding a place to live. And we had, of course, the men of the fraternity, but then there was also a foundation of a board, if you will, of grown-ups, of adults who were, in the real world, if you will, and kind of helped advise and guide us in some of those decisions. As best I can remember, that's how that process went. And again, over the summer, we had looked at several different spots in Cape, near campus, of course, to accommodate, and couldn't find anything that was fitting our needs. There was an old fraternity house. God, I think it might have been, I don't remember whose house it was. And I'm not sure if the house is even there anymore, but it was on Sprigg Street as you were heading down towards the towers. But it was an old frat house, and it may or may not be there anymore or not, but it was in bad shape. And so we ended up finding a place on Themis Street, which is a little off the beaten path from campus in terms of like proximity. I walked it every once in a while because a lot of my classes were on that far side of campus, so it wasn't as far of a walk. But we would have to drive if we're going pretty far away from campus. So we end up getting into, again, this is fall of 94, so we end up getting everything in line, and we're not still quite a chapter. We're still a colony. We're still working on that, becoming a full-fledged chapter of Sigma Nu, which I explained the last time around. You have to go through a process and a lot of paperwork, and you have to do a lot of whether it's community service or things in and around Greek life, campus life, kind of balancing and making those things work and go through all these steps in this process. And I can remember, and we're going to take a quick step backward back to the spring of 1994. And I think I had just joined Sigma Nu when this happened, but I remember hearing it on the campus radio. Heck, it might have even been the local news reporting. It might not have just been campus news. A young man named Michael Davis had been beaten severely by the members of his fraternity. And I don't even remember which fraternity it was. And he ended up dying from his injuries. And I had some classes. He was a mass comm major as well. So I knew Michael. And, this was shocking news to hear. And there was a big investigation, and the fraternity ended up obviously getting, kicked off campus. And I don't know. I don't remember the details of if anybody faced criminal charges, or I would imagine somebody was held accountable and did. I don't remember any of that, but it brought a light then, obviously, to the Greek system, because anytime anything like, even now, 30 plus years later, when things like this happen, you look at the Greek system as a whole, or whatever, the violence stemmed from the whole, it's part of a greater entity. And so we examine as a society and look and ask questions and wonder, why did this happen? How can we prevent these things from happening? And, because I think a lot of times, even still today, people, when they hear fraternity or sorority, they automatically go to the hazing. And hazing can be various things. It's not just physical. It can be verbal. It can be emotional and mental. We see it happen in the real world, athletics. We see it happen in the high school level. We see it's still a thing. It's not gone anywhere. I'm going to put on my rose-colored glasses and assume that it's gotten better, but I don't know that to be a fact. I know that things happen from time to time where it could be interpreted as hazing, or whether that's the case or not. But Sigma Nu in 1869 was founded on an anti-hazing principle. The founders, the three men who founded Sigma Nu, were looking for an organization that did not haze. And so those principles were very much forefront through the whole process of getting everything together for Sigma Nu. And so we were able to take that incident that happened with Michael Davis in the spring, and as part of our chartering process, we invited a national speaker to come in and talk about hazing. And his name was Michael McKenzie. He was actually Sigma Nu as well, and the one that kind of planted the seed at Southeast to get that chapter started. And Michael came in and spoke, and it was a packed house of all the Greek system, and all students were invited. This was in the fall then of 1994. And even St. Louis TV stations, which is a totally different market than Cape Girardeau and about a two-hour drive, came down and did live shots and interviews and recorded the event as well. So, I mean, it got a lot of attention, the hazing incident itself. I know statewide and perhaps even nationally, I don't know for sure, but, you know, we really wanted to share the principles of Sigma Nu and why that hazing, you know, the founder, and it was all part of that process, again, of getting it to the forefront and talking about it and knowing, I think everybody knows it's wrong, and not everybody knows what maybe would constitute as hazing, and obviously beating someone to the point where they are no longer alive or conscious, you know, you would think that that's pretty clear cut. And so, again, that was just something that brought Sigma Nu together. We were able to work with the others in the Greek community on this project and bring and deliver a message of you know, better solutions, better hope, and you know, I think it was probably weeks later. We finalized everything with our chartering process and were awarded and granted the charter. It was in November, I think it was in November of 94 that we had the big banquet, the celebration. We rented tuxedos. It was a fun night, and you know, it was just a time to celebrate and a sigh of relief. You know, we came together a year earlier. We went through all the process of going through and getting everything that we needed to do and doing it the right way and working again with each other. That's where that teamwork, that building, that team building, that bonding, long hours, you know, it was no cakewalk. And there are people higher up on the food chain that did a heck of a lot more than I did, but it was a great experience. And so that fall, we also had our elections. And so we elected a new, instead of president and vice president, ours in Sigma Nu, it's called commander and lieutenant commander. And then you have treasurer and recorder, who is secretary. I ran for recorder and I won that spot. And so becoming then a member of the executive board. And again, this is where the leadership and the confidence and all of those things really, for me, started coming in, because it was, you know, I always wanted to be a part of something bigger. And I know I talked in the last episode about this, that Sigma Nu at the time, when I first came across, was not something that I wanted to do. But then as I got more involved and did more with the group, it really became a big part of, I'm not going to say my identity, but it became a big part of the experience, the college experience, and being, you know, now 30 years later, still connected to a lot of these guys. And so, and then seeing the new crops of men go through and kind of making new friendships and whatnot and meeting and connecting with the new. And I say new, and by new, I mean the guys that were 2-3 years behind us, because eventually there becomes a point where you're not as connected. And I do return every once in a while and talk and see the guys. And it's been a minute since I've been over to visit. So I do need to remedy that. But, you know, It just everything was going well, and we go into the fall of 94, going into then the spring semester of 95, and it just felt like everything, but I was hoping I was supposed to graduate in May of 95. I graduated high school in May of 91, so 4 years later you're supposed to graduate college. Well, I discovered at some point, it had to have been, I'm trying to remember when it happened, but it was looking like I was going to need to take a class in the spring that in order to graduate, I was going to have to take this class. Well, it wasn't being offered. So instead of questioning it then, I was like, well, I'll just take another semester and carry over and go 4.5. And so I don't remember what the class was, but it was a mass comm class. It was something in my major that I needed those hours to graduate. And so in spring of 95, the information comes out for spring, or sorry, fall of 95. And I'm looking through it, and the class that I need is not being offered again. And I had taken the prerequisite. I had to take the prerequisite for this class in the spring. That's what it was. So that was going to push me back anyway. So I had to take the prereq. And then I'm seeing that the class now is not even being offered in the fall. And so I was a little panicked in trying to figure out what I was going to do, because I was already a semester behind as far as graduating went. And so I went to my advisor, Dr. Irvin, and he and I sat and kind of came up with a plan. Instead of, since the class wasn't being offered, my thing that I was going to have to do in the fall of 95 was going to have to come up with a 10-page, I believe it was 10-page, a paper on a topic related to the media, and that's what I was going to have to do. And so I'm the biggest procrastinator in the world. And by the way, this is all happening kind of in that spring semester still. I had decided to take, I mentioned working at Chuck E. Cheese. I took a break from there because we had a lot going on with the fraternity. Even after we were established, we were, doing things, and I didn't want to miss out on anything. So honestly, I kind of took some time off and enjoyed what was going to be the last, semester, last spring semester of my college career, and doing things like Greek singing and doing the fun stuff and all of that. And so I didn't want to miss anything. And with being an officer in the fraternity, there's a little bit more responsibility involved with that. So I was active and happy and glad to be a part of that. And so we had plenty of fun and events and things that were going on and keeping us busy and stuff. And I remember, and I, like I said, I'm a pack rat. I save everything. If you're watching, this is, I'm gonna have to put my glasses on. I can't see, and it's dark in here as well. This is the Love, Truth, and Honor Award, presented to Mu Kappa 12, that's me, Kevin Huntsberger, for your brotherhood, dedication, and service to Sigma Nu Fraternity, Mu Kappa Chapter, 1995. And so this was the end of the spring semester. We had awards and whatnot, and so I received this. And this is something, obviously 30 years later, I still have it. It is near and dear to me, because I think that I, like many, worked hard and was dedicated and part of that experience. And so I'm appreciative of that. And I'm actually also looking here, and I see, if you're watching, my old student ID. Yeah, I found this the other day as well. So, man, 30 plus years ago. Can you believe that? Anyway, ridiculous pack rat. So we get through, we're living in the house. There's a lot of work and renovations and things going on. I think I mentioned last time, my roommates Pete and Paul were like the two handymen of the house and did a lot of the kind of figuring out what we needed to do. And then, you know, a lot of the grunt work as well, the physical labor part of it. And there were others, don't get me wrong, that did it, but you know, Pete and Paul stood out to me and my memory of being kind of those handymen that kind of knew what to do. And Pete built a whole entertainment center for our room. And so that was back in the day when you had the big ass TV and all, you know, radio stereo systems and VCRs and all that kind of stuff. So he made this big thing in the basement and I think ended up just leaving it there even after we left. I think that thing stayed there, but it was just a really memorable experience. And because the size of this house, because it was a house in a residential neighborhood, and so we had a let's see, there were three, no, there were four bedrooms upstairs, and so the one bedroom was very small. Our commander at the time, before the elections, Jonathan, who I had mentioned before, was kind of the elder statesman of the group. He had that single room, and then each of the other three rooms had three people in it. And so we bunked the beds in our room. And I think a couple of the other rooms did that as well. And then Paul slept in this closet was huge. The closet was like a small room itself. Paul slept in that closet during our time there, but we had a couch in there and then that big entertainment. It was almost like a tiny apartment, but now sharing one bathroom or one shower. There was another bathroom downstairs that I don't know if that bathtub worked as well. And then Pete and Paul hooked up something in the basement, or we had another toilet at least. So, but I can remember there were some good, so I'm not going to tell some of these stories because I don't want to get anyone in trouble, even though the statute of limitations has expired. But, Ryman, if you're listening to this, I'm thinking of you, buddy. But anyway, there was, you know, we did our chapter meetings on Sunday nights at the house. And after the chapter meetings, we would go. There was a small group of us. It was myself and Jason Reyes, who I mentioned before, has since passed away. Kevin Gillespie, who my childhood friend, Tim Arbiter, and then Brian Hampton. We would go and get frozen Cokes. And so it was kind of became a tradition after the chapter meeting. We would go head down to the Rhodes 101 and get frozen Cokes and just kind of shoot the shit afterward and kind of chit chat about the meeting and you know plan ahead. And because many of us were on the executive council that were our executive board that were in that on that car ride. And so just God, I can still hear the music cranked up and just being stupid and singing and yelling and doing, you know, Gillespie doing donuts in the parking lot of the church across the street. And oh man. Anyway, I'm digressing here. I really need to bring some of the guys on and have these conversations and reminisce so it doesn't seem so corny. But yeah, we had great times, great memories, a lot of fun, a lot of fun times. You know, and then like I said, we moved on to the next go around, and actually Hampton ended up transferring to Indiana University. We had new elections, and Arbiter, Tim Arbiter, became the commander. And this was my last semester, so I'm going into it, you know, knowing that I've only got 16 weeks left, and so I did as much as I could, and you know, during that time. Elections were held like in November, I think. So it my time was rapidly coming to an end. And I think, gosh, someone correct me. I think my son, you know, you have a in the house, you are in the system, younger guy, take him under your wing and they call that your son, you know, father, son, create a family of sorts. And Mario McDermott was my son. I think, I can't remember if he got elected recorder after I think he did. God, again, used to be able to rattle off things like that all the time, and now it's not so easy. But anyway, it was kind of passing the torch and gearing up for the end of the semester. And again, I mentioned biggest procrastinator in the world. So all I literally have to do is do an outline for this paper, present it to my advisor, and then write the damn paper. He approved the outline. He liked it. I got that done early on. Back at this time, back 30 years ago at SEMO, you walked first. They held the graduation ceremony, and then finals was the next week. So if you screwed up and didn't graduate, then you wouldn't, you didn't get your actual diploma. They would mail your diploma later. So if you screwed up or whatever, you wouldn't get the diploma. And so I didn't, I still hadn't finished writing this paper. And so graduation rolls around. It's December. My parents came down. My father, future father-in-law, came down. My obviously my fiance, now wife, was there. Friends of the family came down. Grandparents, aunts and uncles, cousins, all, they all came down for the ceremony. And we had a party afterward at El Chico, which we were in Cape over the weekend, and I don't think we didn't go on that side of town. I don't think El Chico, it might still be. Someone, is El Chico still there? El Torero's was our spot as the fraternity, but we went to El Chico for the after party, the graduation party, if you will. And I just remember being like on this high, natural high, of getting this, even though the finishing the paper was looming over my head, which I was almost done with it by this point, but it was just that sense of accomplishment, the pride. I was the first grandchild on both sides, my mom and dad's side, to finish college. And so that was an exciting accomplishment and something that I was proud of. And just kind of not knowing 100% sure what was going to happen next, because I didn't study broadcast journalism. I didn't know what I was going to do. I think I probably forgot to mention, along the way in that fall of 95, I ended up getting promoted at Chuck E. Cheese to a shift supervisor. So basically assistant manager. I was the fifth on the team, if you will, at the bottom of the food chain with managers. But so I had that going, but I knew I didn't want to do that for the rest of my life. Obviously, I had a degree in mass communication, but how I was going to use that, I still wasn't sure. And so, and that's where, higher ed and college and all that, I wouldn't trade my experiences for anything in the world. But I think being, 20, 21, 22, and having to figure out and decide what you want to do for the rest of your life can be intimidating. And even still today, I find that it is. And I work in higher ed, and I think that it's great. The opportunities that I had were awesome, and I'm so happy and fortunate that I did what I did when I did it. But yeah, went to graduation, and I don't think I showed this. I still have my mortar board with my Sigma Nu letters on it. My mom did this for me. But, it was a time. Once kind of the high wore off, it's like, okay, what are you going to do now? What is next? Because I again, I wasn't 100% sure. I had thought about radio, I thought about TV. I blindly applied to the WWF, WWE now, but I just sent my resume, not even sure what you're hiring, what I want to do, but I'm a recent college graduate, hire me. And obviously, I didn't get hired because they have, marketing and video production and editing, and they had all of that going on. So I didn't think I was going to get hired to be the next Mean Gene or, become a WWF champion. But I was definitely just kind of throwing stuff out there to see what would happen, what could happen, what the potential was. And I struggled for a while after graduation. Like I said, graduated in December. By April of 96, I was kind of at my wit's end. I was frustrated at Chuck E. Cheese. And I remember calling my parents, and I said, at Lisa and I were living together by this point as well. I had moved out of the fraternity house, and she hadn't graduated yet, so I was living with her and just working full. I mean, I was working full time, but it was not, you weren't getting benefits or anything like that. And so, I just knew I needed a change, but I didn't know what that change was. Well, I had substitute taught through part of college. After you get 60 credit hours in Missouri back then, at least you could sub. And so when I went home for spring break or Christmas break, the schools are still in session, and so I was able to sub for a couple of years at least doing that. And so my friend Gillespie, as I mentioned, his mom was the one who was the substitute coordinator in the school district. And so I'd talk to her, and I'm like, I'm thinking about moving back to my parents' house and just subbing until, because we weren't getting married for another year and some change. So I made the decision, quit Chuck E. Cheese and moved back home and started subbing, and just trying to find something in the TV world or radio or newspaper. And I was sending out resumes, and I've actually found a stack of rejection letters. Actually, they were in with that WWF letter, but I've got a few of them right here, that, and actually from this local market, KFVS 12 and KVSI Fox 23, I applied to be an audition for the kids club coordinator position there. And so again, wasn't sure what I wanted to do. Well, I eventually found my way into the TV world, and then I'll save that story for another day. But the college years, the college experience from freshman year all the way through living in the dorms, the towers, the residence halls. They didn't like the word dorms back then. I don't know if they still do that or not, but the residence halls, finding love, getting engaged, joining Sigma Nu, making lifelong friendships and bonds with people, and then eventually graduating and mission accomplished, if you will. It's all, I get happy and excited thinking about those days and those memories, and especially this time of year, because it is about the time that I graduated, and now it's 30 years. It's so hard to believe that it has been 30 years, but time moves on, time flies, as they say, when you're having fun. And I've had fun. I've had fun telling these stories. I'm having fun people touching base back with me after hearing and listening. So if you're listening and you're from the SEMO days, give me a shout me out on, oh, that's kind of weird. I just did my thumbs up and it popped up on the screen. I don't know if it'll be like that on the recording or not. But anyway, yeah. Good times, great memories. I'm obviously leaving stuff out that I have forgotten about, or I'll remember after I hit stop and have edited this show. But if you are listening and watching and we haven't talked in a while, give me a shout. Text me, shoot me a message on Insta or on Insta Media, on social media, and let's reconnect and talk. So I hope everybody had a great Thanksgiving. I hope your holiday season is full of everything that you want from it. And we will see you next time.